Cape Talk, Money Matters with Sylvia Walker.
Sylvia Walker, good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, Abs. I'm great, thanks. And you?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. Of course, when you hear that music, ladies and gentlemen at home, that means it is Money Matters with Sylvia Walker. We do this every Friday morning with Sylvia, where we talk all things that are money related. Sylvia Walker then is at the Early Breakfast Show's a resident financial advisor. She's a corporate specialist, financial planner, and author of the book Smart Woman. If you ever want to get in contact with Sylvia, you can do so with using her email address, which is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za. Sylvia, today it's all about insurance. Well, how much is enough and can you have too much? I mean, if we're being honest, Sylvia, we always got to make sure that there's something, just something to fall back on.
Yes, Abs, it is something to fall back on, but it's also, you know, I always say to people, it's making sure that you don't leave a mess when you die. Because, you know, it's easy to live life and, you know, focus just on today, but we are all going to die. So one day when you die, you want to make sure that all your affairs are in order, everything is tidied up, so you don't leave a mess, really. That's really what it's about for me at the end of the day.
And so when we talk about insurance, is it life cover specifically?
Yes, well, I mentioned when you die, obviously it isn't just life cover. That's the thing one naturally thinks about. So yes, life cover is a big part of it, but there's also other forms of insurance, income protection, for instance, which we're quite aware of too. You know, if something happens and you actually can't generate an income, because money buys your lifestyle, so if something happens and you can't earn that money, you know, there goes the lifestyle. So income protection is important. And then, of course, the other one that is termed under the umbrella of insurance is critical illness or severe illness cover. So it's really making sure that you've got an income, you've got money, there are funds, you know, if that income dried up. And then, of course, there's another aspect as well, a smaller aspect, and that's credit life assurance, which is, you know, it's the insurance that's linked to your, you know, if you have loans, any kind of credits, they often add credit life assurance onto that as well, just to make sure that your debt is settled. There may be retrenchment cover as part of that. So, as I said, all of that is sort of covered under the umbrella of insurance.
And so if we talk about life cover and we're talking insurance, I mean, I understand it as to be that, you know, should something happen to me, there must be money for my family left for them to use as they wish. But let's say I'm single. Do I need life cover if I'm single and have no dependents?
You may very well need life cover. And I've often had people ask me this, you know, I'm single, I've got no children, I've got no dependents, do I need any kind of life cover? And the thing is that the cover is there to make sure that your debts are settled, as I said, that you don't leave things in a mess. So when your estate is wound up, when you pass away, basically your estate, you know, the whole estate is worked out, your assets minus your liabilities. So there must be money to pay for whatever debt you have. So if there's not enough what we call liquidity in the estate, there's not enough cash or money in the estate, how will your debts be settled? So, you know, you need to make sure that can be taken care of. Also, you might very well be single and you might have quite a big estate, and there's things such as estate duty that need to be paid. Your net estate above 350,000 Rand will be estate dutiable, so there'll be estate duty paid on that, and that's a flat 20%. So it is important to actually consider that aspect, and that's when we talk about estate planning or the need for life cover. Is also to do with that tying up your estate. I just think, Ab, it's important also to note, you know, we talk about young people, but in the early days, when you're starting to work, you haven't got much. You know, you've got an income, you haven't really got assets that you've built up. Because at the end of the day, when you die, you can always, you've got lots of assets, those can be sold, those can be liquidated to provide that cash. But as you go through life, you may actually find that you have, you know, you build up assets, you build up sufficient assets, and you might not need as much life cover as what you needed when you were younger. And I think that's often something people forget. They need to review their situation as things change, as their financial situation changes, as they build up their net worth over time. So, you know, you don't just take out the cover and often to cover escalates and escalates, make sure that you still need it. The classic always is, you know, when people retire, you know, maybe you've retired now, there's no more dependents at home, no more minor children, you might have quite a lot of life cover that's built up. Do you actually need it? So always review and always make sure that you're paying for what you actually need at the end of the day.
And so if you've just joined the conversation, 23 minutes after 5, where this is Money Matters with Sylvia Walker, who joins you every Friday around about this time to talk to you about finances. The question is, you know, as you are going through life, do you have money saved just in case something goes wrong? So in terms of insurance, do you have insurance and how much is enough? And Sylvia is talking to you about life cover. And the last question we've just asked Sylvia was, if you are single or you have no dependents, is it still necessary then for you to have life cover? Well, we'll continue the conversation with Sylvia Walker. And while we do so, we'd love to find out from you, are you financially secured? Do you have a life cover? 021-446-0567. Join the conversation. Sylvia, I've got life cover, but what about funeral policies then? Is this something I need on the side, or will my life cover be more than enough?
So a funeral cover is just another form of life cover, except it pays out within 48 hours. So, you know, your normal life cover policy may take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on how long the insurer takes in terms of documentation. And obviously, if somebody passes away, you need cash, you know, quite soon, because you need to, you know, there's the funeral and the other final expenses. So funeral policies, that's really what it is. It's a form of life cover that pays out quickly. You can have them separately because it does, as I say, it allows that cash to be there when you need it. There's no limit on how much you can have. And I've often found that people are oversold when it comes to funeral cover. I always have a classic case of one client I encountered who had 380,000 rand with a funeral cover because he had different policies. And I still joked and said, you know what, when you die, they can actually fly you to Brazil and bury you there, which he thought was quite amusing. But the thing is, you can be oversold funeral cover. So you don't necessarily need, you know, you must determine how much do you need and just have that and just pay for that. Some policies, funeral cover policies, there are packages out there that actually allow you to add on elderly parents. With no underwriting or very little underwriting, which is very handy to have. So I also encountered people who take out funeral cover really so that they can just add on those extended family members, because obviously that becomes a concern. You know, as your parents grow older, you know, how are you going to pay for that funeral? And they might not necessarily have had taken out cover when they were younger. So again, make sure that you've got what you need and you're paying, you know, the money that you're spending is actually going to give you the benefits that you actually need, but you're not spending too much or spending too little and not having sufficient cover.
It's all good and well, Sylvia. We're getting that we need life cover and you need a funeral policy. But as we've come to learn in South Africa when it comes to these things is that there are some deals that are far better than others. So what am I looking for when I'm shopping around?
I think, Ed, you know, the one sort of word of caution I always say to people is to be careful of the cashback policy. It's a very common thing and a popular thing because buying cover is a grudge purchase. You know, something like any kind of insurance, insuring your car, insuring your life, insuring your income. We do it because we kind of have to do it, but it's a grudge purchase. So the appeal of, you know, if you don't claim, we'll pay out after 5 years or 10 years. That can be quite appealing to people. At least I feel I'm getting something. What many people don't realize with those cashback policies is that it's not for free. You are paying extra for that benefit that they're going to pay you out. So firstly, they say they will pay you if you don't claim. So if you don't die or if you don't become disabled, we will pay you. Now, you're taking the cover for exactly that eventuality. Then, as I say, secondly, you're actually paying extra for that. And that must be included in the quote that you get. It is there. Most people won't even see it, but they'll say, this is your premium for the cover, and this is the savings element. This is what you're paying for that. So, you know, as they say, there ain't no free lunch. There isn't with us either. And the interesting thing is that in South Africa, apparently people pay on average on life policies for around 8 years before they stop paying them, or they switch to another policy, or they surrender them, or that whatever. The moment you stop paying on that policy, you lose that cashback benefit. So you lose that money you've paid in. So just be very cautious of that. And I, you know, for me, it's always better to say if you want cover, pay for the cover. If you want to invest, invest separately, because that's really what you're doing by having the cash back, is you're saying, I'm kind of investing on the side. But, you know, stick to your knitting. Keep it simple. Do the cover and do the investing separately. So just a word of caution around those. Also, often on those policies, the savings part that you're paying is invested in a very low-risk, low-return fund. And you have no choice. You know, it just goes into some fund that doesn't actually deliver great shakes. So, as I say, keep it separate, keep it simple. I'm a great believer in that.
And very quickly, Sylvia, I mean, does one need income protection in this? I mean, you know you will die, so life will pay out at some point, but income protection may or may not pay out. Isn't it more like a waste of money then?
As you know, it's very much a personal decision that. It's obviously, when one is younger and you have dependents and you have a lot of expenses, it's probably a very good idea to have income protection. You know, it's either a lump sum or it's income. So obviously, if you take out cover, and we talk sort of disability cover, if it's an income-based cover that you're buying, it's much more expensive than just one little payout, a lump sum. But I say, as I say, very definitely, if you are, if you have a lot of, you know, a lot of expenses, you've got a lot of responsibilities, you're still very young, you haven't got many assets, it's a very good idea to have that security. It is a grudge purchase. So, like insuring your car, you're only very grateful if a car gets stolen that you had the insurance. Same with us, you know, you'd be very grateful if something happened that you have the insurance.
But speaking about that, you know, there's always these clauses or these other policies that talk to critical illnesses. Where are we fitting this in the picture?
So critical illness adds, or severe illness, is your cancer, strokes, heart attacks, you know, those lifestyle-related illnesses. And this form of cover is quite interesting in that it pays on a lump sum and it's not linked at all to your medical aid. So if you take out, let's say, critical illness or severe illness cover for R500,000, it will pay out within a month of diagnosis. Obviously, if you're diagnosed and you pass away within a few days, it's life cover you should have had. But with this cover, it pays out normally within 30 days or after 30 days of diagnosis. And it's cash that you can use for whatever reason, you know, to recuperate, to go on a holiday, to pay any shortfalls. Maybe you want to just settle some of your debts. You know, sometimes you may be off work for a long time while you're healing. You might not necessarily be paid by your employer, or if you're self-employed, you're not working, you're not earning money. That just gives you cash at a time of crisis. Because let's be honest, having a severe illness, going through anything like that, cancer, heart attack, as I said, it covers a whack of conditions.
Mm.
It's very traumatic. And so it gives you cash at that time, yeah. Mm.
And very quickly, Sylvia, final tips then for this morning?
I think, Abs, just understand what you're buying and when it will pay out. So know what you're paying for and what the benefit is. And review your cover all the time. So don't just assume. You often take out cover and the policies have automatically got built-in increases. So every year the premium increases. Every year the cover increases. So we always will say, oh, look at the premiums increasing. Hmm. Just make sure that you actually need that cover as it's increasing. So review and take control, really. Take ownership of it. Take control and make sure that every rand you're spending on insurance is actually going to give you the value that you need at the end of the day.
And just, people must ask when they're not sure. Always
Absolutely.
Ask when you are not sure. Don't just sign.
And as I always say to people, if you ask and the person you're asking cannot give you an answer that you understand, because often people speak in jargon. If they're not, you're not understanding and they're not explaining it to you, find someone else. Ask somebody else. It's your money. You can give second or third opinions if you want, but keep asking until you understand and you're comfortable with what's being told to you.
Lovely. Sylvia Walker, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. A very good morning to you.
You too, Abs, and have a great weekend.
Lovely. You too. Thank you. This is Money Matters with Sylvia Walker. Should you want to get in contact with Sylvia, you can use her email address, which is sylvia@sylviawalker.co.za.